Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Mark Rawson, and I'd like to welcome you to another night, or I should say a new year, 2015, for Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, for most of last year, we had our favorite song on, and our license copyright for that expired at the end of the year. And I'm also, for some reason this year, in a mode of wanting to recreate or create new energy and everything like that. So I have a friend of mine who's actually writing music for the show, and we should have that available with an intro. I guess we're going to do one show next Monday where we have a guest that's on, and then we'll do another show in February. So I'm guessing by February we'll have a new song in place. So if it threw you off a little bit about the intro, apologies right up front, but new year, new energy, and all that great stuff. And with that, Pam, are you there?
I am. Nice to see you again, Mark, or hear you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and to all of our listeners.
Yes.
It's going to be a good one.
It is going to be a good one. I can feel that one already. So what I was mentioning is that we have a guest that's coming on who will be on next Monday. She's traveling. She was supposed to be on tonight. And she's actually going to do the show with us next Monday. So we actually have two shows this month. We normally only do one show a month. And I thought that it was really fitting that that space kind of opened up, because I was feeling guided in December that it would be really cool to just do a show with you, Pam, to start and, you know, kind of kick off the year, and here we are.
Good. I'm happy to be here.
Very cool. So, all right, what do you want to do? You want to do a meditation, or should we jump right into our spiritual topic for tonight?
Well, let's start by thinking, and then we'll move into a feeling mode a little bit later in the show, because I think that's where I'd like to start, with this concept of who we are and who we're becoming for 2015.
Okay.
So, can I just go ahead and talk about what I wanted to discuss tonight?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to start by talking about truth. And, you know my story, Mark. I met you because you used to come to my classes, and I taught a lot of classes for many years, since 2000, actually. So it was about 13 years when I met you. I think we met a few years ago, 2012 maybe. And my situation was that I had a lot of answers. I had been searching, analyzing, reading, studying for so many years that I had a lot of what I considered spiritual truth. And I love teaching it. I love showing people how life works. I love showing people the concept of what life is made of and who we really are and our relationship between those, that world, and our outside world and our inside world. The part where I started getting uneasy was when someone would talk about something that completely was contrary to what I believed was the truth. As an example, let's talk about life. You know, I know everyone has run into people that don't believe that there's anything outside of what they can see in their outer world. They don't explore any sort of inner world. They lead a very unexamined life. A lot of them are young souls, so that's exactly where they should be. However, when they begin talking about what they think about life, it flies in the face of what I believed was true.
Mm-hmm.
And I found go ahead.
Well, I think one of the things that's interesting, just to add to your idea right there, is most of my life experience you know, in that same idea has to do with the fact that just me associating or working with people who are very dogma-based from some type of spiritual religious background, and, you know, even going as far as saying that, you know, if you talk to them about something and they can't directly reference it through a scripture, then it doesn't exist to them. So,
right.
Go ahead.
That's true. Well, you know, one of the things that I would teach in my Keys of Life class was this concept of what is truth. And it is a fascinating subject because two people can believe completely opposite things. They can see life with a completely different filter. They believe completely different things about life, about how life operates, about who they are in life, about what their relationships are, completely different. And yet they're both right. So I started examining my own beliefs about what I felt was true and realized that I was categorizing my own truth in the realm of truth that everyone categorizes their concept in. It becomes a part of your personality, which kicks in a personality is something that always has two sides. Personality is based on choices, different choices you've made in your life. Now, these choices are often created by being wounded as an individual. You feel wounded by something, so you make a choice. That choice affects future choices, affects future experiences, and builds on itself. That's basically what a personality is. Now, when you involve your truth, even at a deepest level, even something you know in your heart is absolutely right, it moves into your personality and becomes a part of those choices. When that happens, it's no longer true. In other words, there was something about this teaching truth that was really bothering me, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And what it was, and I actually took a break. I haven't really taught on a regular basis, on a weekly basis, in 2 years. I've got a master's degree, I've done all this stuff, and I've studied and I've worked and I've tried to figure this out, and I think I've succeeded. And basically, what I've come up with is that as soon as you believe something is true, it no longer is. In other words, you move up to the next level of truth. You can't, you know, my grandfather used to say about things that you can't hold on to, he used to say, it's like a fart in a mitten.
Well, there you go.
And it's kind of like truth, you know? Truth is like a fart in a mitten. As soon as you begin defending your truth, you know it's not true anymore. And it's funny because obviously, you know, people say to me, well, we're all one. That's obviously a truth. But, okay, that's obviously a truth. But as soon as it becomes part of your personality, as soon as it becomes part of something that you're holding on to as part of you and you'll defend it, then it's no longer a truth. It becomes a fixed part of your personality. Does that make any sense, Mark? What do you
think?
Well,
you know, I'm a little bit confused about what you're talking about in that situation right there, because what you're basically saying is that as soon as you accept it, you originally say, well, this is my truth. You accept it. It gets integrated into you, but you know, there's like what Ram Dass would say, and that is every path is continuously spiraling. I mean, even when you talk about ascension studies, there's even the idea that even after you ascend, that is just a starting point, and then there's a whole, you know, a whole cycle of growth and everything, just like as young souls we had to go through till we could ascend. You know, it's kind
that's
of like
great.
Once you
that's
ascend.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's a great explanation.
So, you know, the question I would say is, I would say it's your truth at that point. I guess what I was trying to get at is that for you, once you integrate it, it becomes part of you, and then there's a part of you that says, okay, well, that's a good starting point. Now I'm going to jump to the next level and expand beyond that, which is, I think, probably, you know, when we've looked at different teachers, you know, we have this thought process in our minds that basically says that the greatest gift that we could ever give to our teachers is to go beyond anything they ever taught us. Now, some teachers don't like that because they're so caught in their ego that they're kind of like, well, no, you can never become more than I, you know, did. But, you know, a good teacher is someone who's going to be like, you know, you might come to them and say, well, I took everything you taught me, and now I took it to the next level. I mean, a teacher in that kind of light would say, wow, I mean, what is the best way you could honor me more than to take my teachings and advance them? So, but what I'm trying to think of, or what I'm trying to say to you here, is when you say this, you're not saying that your truth is no longer your truth. You're just saying that you evolve higher after that.
Yeah, I'm saying that if you hold on to truth as being the end-all truth, that you freeze yourself and cannot move beyond that. As soon as you find yourself defending your truth, you're stuck in it.
And that stops you
from growing.
I think that's very true. And I also strongly believe, and I see this with a lot of, and you know, I'm going to pick on religion people tonight, or religious people. But you'll find somebody who basically defends their beliefs so strongly, and it doesn't have to be that, it could be spiritual, that you find that the people you're going to have the worst conflict with are people who don't truly believe their own belief system. And because of it, they just hang on to it and they fight for it and everything like that. There was a story that came out of a movie I just watched. I'm trying to think what it's called. It's called I, Origins. And it was a story about the scientists who figured out a way of taking pictures of the eyes. I don't know if it's supposed to be true or not true, but he basically said that everybody's eyes are unique. And, you know, as this movie starts to unfold, it becomes a story about past life and how his new baby shows up and they take pictures of the eyes, and then all of a sudden this older gentleman shows up in the identification of the eyes, and they later find out that the baby is basically a reincarnation of this guy that died. But through this, there was an interesting story as he was searching India for somebody, and this Indian woman turned to him and said, you know, the Dalai Lama was once asked that if scientists could prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that religion or his entire belief system was false, what would he do with those findings? And she goes on further to say that the Dalai Lama basically said that if you could scientifically prove to me and show me the papers and talk to me, and you could prove that my beliefs were false, I would give up my beliefs. And that came from the Dalai Lama. So it was funny in the movie because this guy basically was, you know, kind of like, if it's not science, it doesn't exist. And there's no room for, you know, past lives or any of this in his life. She turned to him and she said, what would happen if something that you were shown could actually show that everything you knew about science was wrong? And he didn't say anything, but it's just such a beautiful story.
Well, that sounds nice. What was the name of the movie?
It's called I, like the letter I, Origin.
Okay.
And I think it came out in 2014. I got it off of Amazon Prime, because I watch a lot
of
my movies that way.
I'll have to look it up. That's interesting. But, you know, I think when you were explaining the movie, I think I just got this little download that made it a bit clearer on how to explain it. And basically, it's two separate things. It's whether or not the truth has any validity in your life. and whether or not the truth is part of your personality. In other words, you know, you have so many religions that can be very destructive defending their beliefs. For example, there's these terrorists that in the name of Allah, which is a shame really because that's not what Islam is about, but in the name of Allah they are creating all this terror. I remember many years ago there were Christians blowing up abortion clinics, and a few abortion doctors were killed. They're, you know, in the name of belief, people have done terrible things. That's what the Crusades were about. You know, I have the only truth. I am the one with the truth, and you're not. When I grew up in the Catholic Church, I went to Catholic school every day, and the nuns would tell the kids that, and they don't do this any longer, but back when I grew up, they would tell the kids that if you were Catholic and you were baptized, if you died tomorrow, you would go right to heaven. If you were not Catholic and you weren't baptized Catholic and you died, even with no sins, you would go to hell, or limbo, I think it was, like if a baby died, but he wouldn't go to heaven. And this concept bothered me. It's like, who are we to say we have the only truth? It made no sense. Now, if you take that concept and you expand it culturally, you know, take it out of the realm of religion, put it into the realm of politics, for example. People feel very strongly about what they believe, about whether they're Democrat or Republican, whether they're a left-winger or a right-winger, whether they believe in immigration or whether they believe in fiscal responsibility or whatever the issues are. They get very powerfully, passionately intense about their beliefs. Now, if you take a look at that, the defending their truth becomes the issue, because the truth itself becomes a part of who they believe they are, part of their personality. It's different than what's really accurate. In other words, my truth is that we're all one energy. We're all one. Now, if somebody was to say, okay, well, we're not one, obviously you're different than me and I don't want anything to do with you, that kind of response, what is my response? If I respect their truth and I say, fine, okay, this is your truth, you can have it. I completely understand. And in some way, you're completely right. That's different than saying, well, wait a minute, that's not the case, and we all are one, and defending that in a way that this threatens my personality somehow. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, and I think one of the ideas that I'm kind of understanding about this really is that, you know, there's all these different paths that there is to God, right? You know, you can be Catholic, you can be Jewish, you know, you can be anything, and really, as far as I'm concerned, you're going to end up back with, you know, if we want to call it God as a figurehead, that's where we're going to end up. And it doesn't really matter where how you get there or the rules
right.
that you follow or anything. I think the one key rule that I think is important, and we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier as a sticking point, as an issue, is non-respect, or basically using differences as a way of separation to harm others. You know, I have no problem, you know, I'll go and I'll say an extreme statement, you know, because, of course, the first statement I would make is I don't think anybody should harm anybody, but I can basically support the belief system of the Taliban. I can say, you know, you have the right to worship whatever way you want to worship. Now, I don't particularly think they should be going around killing people or harming people, and I don't believe in a lot of the stuff they do, but that's their belief system. That's their system. Like I said, the number one rule is, you know, they're not, you know, nobody should be out in the name of religion, killing people or basically harming people because of differences. But, you know, if that's true for them, then it's true for everybody.
Go ahead.
You know, it basically is true for everybody, and that is, you know, I basically respect you for your beliefs. I might not agree with any of them. But the point is you have the right to have them. They're your truth in your moment, and you might have a different truth tomorrow. And, you know, that was one of the things I learned as I was going through and, you know, being a young spiritual teacher. You know, for a long time I was teaching like, well, my way is the only way and I know what's best and you guys have no clue. And, you know, a lot of that came from ego. And what I learned very quickly is I'm going to teach you something that makes sense to me that basically is my truth for this moment. And if you ask me again tomorrow, I might have a different story for you. So, you know, that's kind of like, you know, that's kind of like what I was thinking. But what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, now you said the word Taliban, you've probably got Homeland Security listening to our show.
Well, anything to get the numbers up. As they would say, any type of publicity is good publicity. My bigger concern is all of a sudden if the console shuts off and my computer shuts down and fries. So, little conspiracy for everybody for this evening. But,
well, the point is that there's certain words that kick in and that cause people to listen to things, you know, and that's one of them. But as far as going back to this concept of truth, I think what the bottom line is that what overrides truth? What overrides truth? Whatever the person's truth is. And you have to understand that a new soul is going to believe something completely different than an old soul. And I heard an example the other day of a child believing that there was something under his bed and being terrified of that. And if you go in and you say to the child, no, 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 there's nothing there. Stop acting so badly and stop being afraid. You're not respecting that child's truth. The truth is that he's afraid there's something under the bed. And it's the same thing. Well, when he grows up, he knows that shadow is not something that's going to hurt him. It might be a bird flying by the window. But when you're little, you don't get that same understanding. And with a new soul, someone that's just beginning their journey, as an example, they might believe something completely different. And if you go and you don't respect their truth and you try to override their truth and explain your truth, it's like shoving it down their throat. It's like the religious people that come to your front door and try to save you. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal savior? And if not, let me shove it down your throat. That kind of thing, nobody likes that. Everybody resents it because the resentment is caused by arrogance, that you have the only truth, and number two, that you're not respecting my truth. So this concept of love overrides truth in 100% of the cases, because love will automatically give you respect for that soul's real truth, whatever they believe, even if it doesn't even come close to the understanding that you have, to the truth that you think you've mastered. Mastery doesn't come from truth. Mastery comes from love. And the truth that you think you've put together is nothing at all if it's used to disrespect someone else's life, someone else's truth. Now, in order to grow and become the master that we really need to become, because if you're listening to the show, you are a light worker. And 2015 is the year that people begin shining. And that is my truth. If you're listening to this show, you are already an old soul. You are already in this position that you need, from my perspective, to let go of the truth. The truth is not important at all.
I agree with you, and I think if both of us can agree, I think we're close to having group consciousness, right?
That's right. You know, it's
so it was interesting what you said about the story about the child and seeing the monster on the shadow. It was something that actually came up in a story this week where one of the spiritual teachers that was out there had said, you know, there's so many of us and I know all of us are familiar with this as our own personal experience and also have seen other people tiptoe around it, but, you know, lots of times when we try to describe things to our spiritual friends, we try to be very careful with our words because we're all caught up in this, you know, we're creating our reality and laws of attraction and everything. So I don't want to say something like, Pam, you know, last year, you know, it financially destroyed me. I mean, I was basically in poverty and I had no money. And, you know, these type of words where people are like, oh, don't say that, erase, you know, and it's like tiptoeing around. And, you know,
those are silly truths.
Well, you know, the spiritual teacher had a really good point about it. And that is, you know, if that's the case, and we know all the different children out there that, you know, believe that there's monsters under their bed, they feel it, they have the fear, they have the energy, they have the thought process behind it, they have the attention. If that's the case, and we believe exactly what we just described, we should have a very big academic of monsters in the United States,
right,
under the beds of children, right? And his point that he was making is, you know, you don't have to tiptoe so much around, you know, the divine or whatever it is that you believe in that's creating your reality is smart enough to know, you know, that you have to sometimes, and I find this sometimes, that just to explain, to talk something out with somebody, sometimes you have to use words that wouldn't be the most positive. And I think you can kind of let go of the fact that you have to worry about the fact that every word that comes out of your mouth is going to screw up your life.
Well, I agree with that. And,
yeah,
you know that mostly back in 2000, I created this course called The Keys of Life, which was a step-by-step process on how to generate life deliberately. That was the concept behind it. And we talked about what our attention is, what personal power is, and how to generate power, what our attention does to matter, and on and on and on until we got to a point where you aligning all of these things, we can purposely generate an experience. And it was true, but it was, and it still is to some extent. Well, it still is completely true, except I feel now as though that information is like just beginning. It's a tiny, tiny little step in the right direction. And it's no longer true for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably true for a lot of people. And, you know, and it's not something I'm willing to completely give up on, because I think it does carry weight for a lot of people. But I also think that so many people have outgrown the whole law of attraction crap. And the whole, you know, generating your own experience and neuro-linguistic programming and what you say and how it changes your world and all of that stuff has value. But it only has value as long as you hold it to be true.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as
there's
you start letting go, go ahead.
There's a new truth that's been shown to me lately that's actually been confirmed through two different spiritual teaching paths, which I thought was very interesting. And, you know, I've been just kind of playing with it and, you know, as I say, sitting in it to see how it feels. But there is this belief that basically before we came here, we contracted and defined exactly what we're supposed to have done in life, and that our life actually is completely laid out, that free will is an illusion. There is no such thing as actually manipulating your reality. And that the only choice that you have in any moment is how you choose to define these experiences that you're basically going to have to go through no matter what choices you think you're making. You know, like, you know, I might decide all of a sudden I'm supposed to go to medical school and become a doctor, and I don't really want to do that, but guess what? That was my path, so guess where I'm going, and I have no choice about it. So the question would be, in every moment, really, is to look at it and say, well, the only choice that I have, if there is no free will and if there is no changing your reality, that if it is completely cemented, and it's not even that idea of, oh, you're going to a destination, but you get to choose a path to get there. There's not even that. For every moment of your day and every interaction, it's all been planned out. The only choice you have in that situation is to go into a situation like, you know, that last year I went through, where I went through financial ruins, is to basically go through the situation on a day-by-day basis and say, well, I can look at this as a great lesson, or I can look at this as the worst thing that ever happened in my life. And me defining my reality for today is based on, here is what I'm being given. I really don't have a choice about it. And how do I react to it? And the choice only being my reaction and what I get out of it. So it's an interesting 360 on everything that we've been told for years.
Well, I agree with that. You know, back when I put together the Keys of Life, I lived in the Middle East. I lived in Amman, Jordan. My husband was a diplomat at the embassy there. And so my experience, I wasn't connected to all of the spiritualist material and information and teachers. And actually, in 2000, there were not that many anyway. But I wasn't connected to any of it. I put this together myself because I pulled it right out of mass consciousness. This was the first step. The whole law of attraction thing, the whole creating your reality, has some validity. It's not something we should throw out the window. It's not something that is like, okay, this isn't true anymore. What it is it is a step of truth. And I want you to get this idea of steps. It is a step of truth, but it is not the whole truth. The next step of truth is love and respect for other people's truths. The next step of truth, and that, you know, what you just said about everything being completely predestined, I don't believe that either. My experience as a medium is that most people write a program before they come here. They do write the program. And the program is usually written in a way that says, okay, I want to experience this, I want to experience that, and I want to bring this light into the world. And for the people listening to the show, I know that's your truth. Now, it's like the backup program on the computer. You push that button on the computer tomorrow, it's going to boot up exactly the same way it booted up today. In other words, when you wake up in the morning, you're sort of in this fog, and you're not really clear about who you are yet. And then the program boots up. The program boots up, and you wake up, and you remember, oh, yeah, this is who I am, and this is my energy, and this is what I'm doing, and this is my history, and this is my day, and it all boots up the same way. Now, I used to believe, for years and years, my truth was that if you would sit down and write out a list of things that you would like to feel and create, and then feel as though they were happening in that moment, that experience would happen. And that's happened many, many times for me. I can prove to you that that's true. And, you know, the funny thing about truth is you can always prove that it's true because your body shows you that experience. Because your body believes it's true, and your body believes what you tell it. And you've got these 50 trillion cells in your body that are auto-generating what you believe life is about. And all of that is true. But it's also true that none of the booting matters. None of the way that your life boots up in the morning really has any effect on if you step up one more level. If you step up one more level, the law of attraction doesn't apply anymore. What applies is just love. You're becoming a master. and someone voicing their belief that's completely contrary to your belief doesn't create a defense mechanism, because you're standing there holding love for that person. And as you're standing there holding love for that person, they're not feeling any defense. They're feeling completely absorbed in your love. And there's no conflict anymore. It drops the conflict. It generates light in this world where before there was only conflict. It's one step up into becoming a master. The first step of becoming a master is by trying to master your own life, trying to change that boot up. Who is it that I'm being today? The next step is letting it all go completely and saying, okay, I understand that we're all one. That's my truth, but it's not connected to my personality. You want to think that we're all, several billion people? I'm happy to just be here and listen to your point of view and respect you, and more than that, to love you for being part of me and being part of this universe. Do you know what I'm saying?
Let's go ahead and go to a commercial break, and I'll share with you how I observed myself being judgmental about somebody and how that lesson was brought to me to experience something about myself. Everybody, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. If you want to find out more about this show and other shows, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. Tonight's show is a special New Year's show with my co-host and my friend Pamela Latour. And, of course, I'm Mark Rawson. And if you want to find out more about us and our websites and everything, you can go to the main Spiritual Radio website. So thank you for joining us this evening for this special show. As you know, we only run the show about once a month, but we do want to let you know that next Monday we have a special guest that's coming on. And she'll be talking about her books. And I'm scrolling down as I speak to make sure that I get her name correctly, so you know how much fun I have with that. We have with us next week Melissa Joy Johnson, who is basically from Matrix Energetics. She's going to be talking about her book, M-Joy, and her experience working on the circuit and out in the field with the creator of Matrix Energetics. So join us next Monday at this time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for our guest, where me and Pam will be interviewing Melissa.
Good. Nice. So, you did a good job there.
Is it? Thank you. So, missed my job in making coffee, I think. But, it's very interesting, because I think you'll agree with us. It's kind of like, you want to experience something in life, and life kind of brings you through an experience so you can observe yourself, especially if it's like, well, I don't judge people for their beliefs. So, I was at work, and one of my fellow workers is a Jehovah Witness, and I had a chance to swing by and talk to him about religion from time to time, and it was very interesting because we got into a discussion on if Satan asked God for permission to test certain people. And it basically boiled down to, not that there was any verbal arguing, but it boiled down to him basically saying, well, the scriptures basically say this. And I said, yeah, but, this is really what I believe God is, which is just completely loving and unconditional. And, he's not going to do anything like this. And, to me, there's not even a devil. I believe that it's just the good and bad free will of individuals that define what we would consider to be different vibrations. But it was interesting because as we were going through this and he was quoting scripture and, as I talked about this a little bit earlier, certain religion groups, basically, if it's not in scripture, it doesn't exist. And they don't have any room for it. And they'll go as far as even making sure that they don't have anything to do with you if you don't totally agree with what they agree with. So it's almost like a very light discrimination. And it got to the point where we were kind of going back and forth, and I was kind of saying, well, here's a different way of looking at it. And he was looking at me like, well, I'm not going to do that unless you give me scriptures and tell me where in the book it says that. And I noticed as I was going through this, because he brought in one of the Watchtower flyers and he was, you know, giving me some material for me to read. And I went through and I looked at it. And as I was looking at it, and I kind of noticed this while I was standing there talking to him also, I noticed that there was a point in me where I'm like, well, how far am I going to go to be right? You know, and, you know, what is my truth? And does my truth have to be more important than his at the cost of who he is?
Well, that's, you know, insight.
So I looked at it in that situation, and it kind of went down finally this morning because I kind of read through the flyer, and I looked at some of the stuff, and then I actually went to their website and checked out some of the materials that they had and some of their beliefs. And as I'm going through and I'm looking at this, I'm sitting there going, well, what in the world am I doing here? And I realized what I was trying to do is build a case against him so that I could prove that his whole religion and his belief systems were not the truth. And then I had to pause for a second and say, well, first of all, as we realize with everybody, and this has nothing to do with religion, you're not going to change anybody. They're going to be whoever they're going to be. And if they are going to change, maybe they'll change by being in your light. But it really is going to be through their truth and what they believe. So, you know, I'm never going to change this guy. And, you know, is there really any value in me attacking his religious beliefs? And, you know, what's the purpose behind that? Just so I can be right? And what I realized in that moment is that there's enough space for me to respect him for what his beliefs are. And I can give you the spiritual Heidi-do of, you know, he's on his own path and, you know, he's in kindergarten. I'm in college because I'm so advanced. But, you know, the truth is, it is his truth. And, you know, I think it's Socrates who said, there's one thing I know, and that is I know nothing. So, you know, the truth is, when it's all said and done, we'll probably figure it all out. But, you know, we all have our own truths for now. And I think the best thing I could do in the situation was realize, you know what, there's enough room for him to have his truth. And that's what I need to respect. And basically, I gave him back his flyer. And, you know, I haven't really discussed it with him further. And if I do, I'll let him kind of, you know, have his lead in what he believes and stuff, because it's not important for me to sell him on my truth.
That's wonderfully insightful, Mark. I love that insight. And that's exactly what we're talking about today. I mm-hmm. have something to share with you, too, just something real brief. I went to Sam's Club today, and I was buying food, and I went through the cashier line, and like I always do, I start talking to this girl, and she very sweet, very sweet girl, and I said to her, what can I wish for you this new year? And she said, health. And she said, and she started talking about health and how if you don't have it, you can't really do much of anything, and, you know, obvious cute things about health. And so I said, okay, I wish for you health. And she started talking about how God was really the one that could give health and was really the one responsible for her health and this sort of thing, which takes us to a level of no responsibility, really, or very little responsibility, because God has it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I was holding on to this feeling of just loving her. And she started talking about how she needed to know who she was. You know, this concept of creating herself and her health and everything through God. And I said, well, maybe we are all God. And I expected a big backlash in retrospect. But at the time, I was just holding her in love. And so there was no conflict. There was nothing. And I learned from that. And what I learned from it was, if you're holding someone in love, you can say anything. And it's okay. Because they're feeling the love. They're not feeling the conflict. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's I think as light workers, I think all of us have opportunities where spirit has kind of put us in the path of somebody where we can share a truth that is going to be what that person needs in that moment. I think the difference is being able to see exactly where the line is because, you know, as you can imagine, what started off as a regular open discussion at work became pretty heated because of someone and their belief and me trying to be right and them being trying to be right. But there's been tons of situations where spirit has put me in the path of individuals where I've kind of given them, and usually not to any of my knowledge. I mean, I'll just say something to somebody and, you know, I think it's one of the things the angels say, you have no idea on how many lives you actually touch in a given year just by being out there and loving people. And, you know, through this, I kind of realized there's been a lot of situations where I gave that person exactly what they needed to move them to the next step. And I think that's a lot of what we do as light workers. And I think what we're all in agreement on here today is that sometimes you could just, and I think we all know this because we've all experienced it. You know how far you can go and then you understand at a certain point. Well, it's like you either feel it ahead of time where you're like, you know what, this isn't a person that I can even discuss something with. Or you get into a conversation, which happens sometimes for me, and you find out about 5 minutes into it of, oh, wait a second, I probably shouldn't have said that because now this person wasn't ready for that, and I just didn't feel out the situation correctly.
But that's really true. On that level, that's really true. But what I'm saying is if you hold them in love and you're just flowing love to them and you're just loving them, it doesn't matter what you say. There's nothing that you could say wrong because they're not really, they're only half listening. They're only half listening to what you're saying. Mostly what they're doing is feeling. You know, someone told me once, Mark, that mongoloidism, in other words, Down syndrome children, have an extra chromosome. And they're considered retarded. They don't think, they're not as advanced as we are in their head, but they're so much more advanced in their heart. And someone told me once, the Down syndrome children are one step closer on an evolutionary level than we are because the head thing doesn't get in the way. In other words, they're not thinking their way through life. They're feeling their way through life. And if you look at Down syndrome children as something, a master, you look at an emotional master as a Down syndrome child. No matter what happens, they love. That kind of energy, because they're not thinking all the time, that kind of energy is really where we need to be. Now, we're moving into a level of mastery as humanity, and I really believe that there are light workers that are very connected at this moment, that are teaching, that are out there working, that will bring us to this next level of movement, this next level of ascension, where we're actually going to stay in our hearts and are much less in our head.
I think it's true. Yeah. I mean, when you see beings like that, or you see beings like children that are diagnosed with autism or any type of disorder. I think when you take a look at any of those children or you take a look at something like animals, what you're seeing is you're seeing fully awakened beings that are completely connected to God. I mean, there's no interference. They're at a whole different dimensional level. We look at them like, well, you know, they can't conform to our school system or our rules of society. And, you know, you're looking at these advanced beings that are just like, just basically flowing unconditional love. And it's such a gift to the planet, you know, and it's, I think more and more people are understanding that every year.
Very good. Well, why don't we're getting Well, I think it's 8:47 now, so why don't we start our meditation? We've done a lot of thinking and refocusing on intellectually. Let's do some opening the heart and relaxing into our true selves.
Sounds good. I'll let you go ahead and do that, and I'm going to send out a blessing to everybody while you do that in the background.
Wonderful. Take a deep breath into your body and fill it up with the air. Imagine the air moving down into your feet, into your legs, back up into your torso, down your arms. Breathe out slowly. Any stress, any tension. Take another deep breath in. Fill up your neck, your head. Move the air around your system. Breathe out slowly. Any stress, any tension remaining in the body. Take one more deep breath in. Focus on your heart, on your, the center of your chest. Feel any stress or any tension in that area. And when you breathe out, I want you to release that stress and tension. Feel your heart go softer. Your heart energy gets softer, sweeter, more loving. Now imagine in this relaxed state, your heart beginning to glow from the inside out. Imagine your heart flowing light out, not just out the front, but out the sides, out the back, above and below, and your heart is shooting light out in every direction. Take a deep breath into that light, and the center of this light is bright white, and the rays are just moving out and filling up the room all around you. Suddenly you're aware of not only what's in front of you, but what's behind you, what's on the sides of you, what's above and below you. This light is breaking up any density in your energy fields, not only your physical body, but your emotional body, your spiritual body, and it keeps moving out further and further away from you, flowing out from your heart as though you have a river of unconditional love flowing into the world. And this heart of yours is just amazingly bright. And it reaches out and it touches everybody in the area around you, everyone on your block, everyone in your city as it expands out, everyone in your state, everyone in several states around you. Just feel that light flowing out of you, moving out further and further, and use your breath if you need to. Pull in the light, push out the light through your heart chakra. Until you can no longer see where that light stops. It reaches around the entire planet and touches the hearts of every person. It touches the hearts of everyone that believes their truth is the only truth, and softens that inflexible position. It softens it. It flows compassion into their body, compassion into their life, and love into their heart. Their energy softens, their body softens, their life gets sweeter, more loving. From you, flow that light. You are the responsible one. You are the light worker. You are the giver of light. Flow that light to every being on this planet, in this moment, now. Their truth is no longer necessary to hold them down, to keep them focused and fixed in hating life. That hatred is melting away. That separation is melting away. And we feel each other as one energy, one life. Now this light in the center of your chest, the chakra light, is glowing so bright that it's blinding. You've become a master. And everything that happens on this planet is your responsibility. Not your fault, your responsibility. You touch that person with your light. You see something bad on the news, something you judge as evil. You flow light to that person because evil is just darkness. Fill them with light. Purposely focus on surrounding that person and touching their heart with love. And you are the master. Now take a deep breath into your body, completely aware of all the souls that you've just touched, all the bodies, all the hearts that you're connected to. Take a deep breath into your body and know that every breath you take now is connected to the entire planet. Fill up your body with air. Be it. And so it is. Become aware of the room that you're sitting in, how much space your body takes up. Feel your back on the chair and feet on the floor. And when you're ready, open your eyes. We're done.
That felt good. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you to all those light workers out there that are listening to this and that have really changed the planet in the last few moments.
Mm. Yeah, some of us, you know, so many of us out there feel that we're alone, that we have nobody, that we don't have a network and stuff, but we always have so much spiritual support, and then, of course, with a radio show like this, we're all here to support you and all the work that you're doing out there. And so welcome to 2015. It's going to be an incredible year.
It is going to be an incredible year. And if you don't mind, Mark, I'd like to give out my email address. So if anybody would like to contact me to tell me about your experiences, to tell me about your truth, tell me about what you experienced during this meditation, whatever you want to talk about, write to me and we'll talk. My email is Sanctuary Network. I'm confused here, just coming out of meditation. Sanctuary Networks, which is Sanctuary, S-A-N-C-T-U-A-R-Y, Networks, it's all one word, Sanctuary Networks with an S, @gmail.com. And I'd be more than glad to talk. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thank you, as always, to be on the show, Pam. We'll be back here next Monday for our guest. And I'd like to thank everybody for listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Happy New Year.